Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt of the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. Friends, welcome back. We're back here with another Raven. A really interesting comment. Again, my friends, I cannot get over the quality of commenting that we get on YouTube videos, like real in-depth stuff. And to us, this is like a lot of what people would send in our to our Gmail back during season 8, like real deep and sweaty kind of comments. And this one is from Spider Egg.
Right. Yeah. So this video, by the way, was Benjen Stark at the Fist of the First Men. So we were talking about the possibility that he was the one who could have left the cloak and the daggers there at the Fist of the First Men because Benjen goes missing. So one of the comments here, and it started a little bit of a thread, was, I really like this idea. I also agree that Cold Hands, in parentheses, Danny Flint, is working with Bloodraven, doing the physical things that he can't. There's also the mystery of the missing Rangers and that of what is actually happening to Craster's son. His wives believe he is sacrificing them to the others, but we just don't know. Add in how Craster is having to give over livestock and someone alive is out there. If you have a group of young men being trained by Rangers, you sort of have a Forest Republic in waiting, sleepers, if you like. And then it sort of goes into some of the comments here. Ashley of Noth, right, who comments a lot, leaves really good things. We've done just dedicated videos on some of hers. She says, you're the only other person I've ever heard who shares my perspective on Cold Hands equals Brave Danny. And so I am totally unfamiliar with this Brave Danny thing. We're not crazy if we're right. I'm baffled by how people miss it. Women with obscured face who is mistaken for a man. Hello, Brienne of like Bran Tarth. I wonder if the reason that we don't have lyrics for her ballad, which I believe could be the song that made Lyanna cry, is because that would give away information that would link her to Cold Hands. There's also mystery about Cold Hands being unable to pass through the Black Gate with Sam. According to Sam, Cold Hands says he can't pass because of magic in the wall. But that's not true because whites have been brought through the wall by other watchmen before. So being undead, which is a good point, shouldn't have any effect on Cold Hands getting through, provided he was with Sam. Interestingly enough, Sam explains about the gate to Bran and crew, saying only a man of the Night's Watch can open it, a sworn brother who has said his words. Lots of emphasis on men being able to open it. If Cold Hands were a woman, Danny Flint, right? That explains why she didn't get near the door / open it for Sam. She can't. Only men who've taken the words can. And maybe that's why George, keeps Cold Hands a safe distance from the door, showing the reader that Cold Hands couldn't open it. Might have revealed that Cold Hands is a woman. So, you literally give me chills. I am no man, right? Little Lord of the Rings there. So, I'm totally unfamiliar with this.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Like, they brought up Danny Flint, who was a girl from House Flint who dresses as a boy to become a member of the Night's Watch. The history on this is that she was actually raped and murdered at the Night Fort and is remembered for being brave and young. Brave Danny Flint is a sad and pretty song written about her. In some versions of the song, her ghost still walks the Night Fort. Her ghost. Now, her ghost could just be freaking Cold Hands. Actually, interestingly about Cold Hands is that his face is never shown, right? That's the whole thing. They're always trying to get a good look at his face. Well, maybe the reason we want to see his face is because it's actually her face. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things that we're going to get some sort of, like reveal. You look at how big Brienne is, right? Brienne is mistaken for a man. Podrick always calls her Sir This and Sir That. Or then stumbling over his words to say my lady or whatever. He is trying to figure out what to say and be respectful. So Danny, Flint is one of these characters possibly. So in Storm of Swords, upon arriving at the Night Fort with his companions, Bran recalls the tale of what happened to Danny Flint. Now, here we go. Proximity, my friend. Right. So in this chapter, he's recalling Danny Flint at the Night Fort. Right. And then in Winterfell, during the wedding banquet held in honor of Ramsay Bolton to Arya Stark, air quote Arya Stark, Lord Wyman Manderly requests a song about brave young Danny Flint to make everyone weep. As 3,000 wildlings pass the wall at Casterly Rock, Lord Commander Jon Snow notices that two of the boy hostages are girls in disguise. John asks Tormund Giantsbane if Mance Rayder ever sang a song about Danny Flint. Tormund says he does not think so and asks who he was. John tells him Danny, saying that her song is sad and pretty, but it, but what happened to her was not. So, yeah, just a kind of an interesting thing to me that the reason, you know, Sam says that a man of the Night's Watch, right, that you have to be male, essentially, to get through the wall. And this whole conversation that they were having is about, well, you can take individuals through, right? So to open the door, like the magic door there, you have to speak your vows and be a true man of the Night's Watch. Well, if she's a woman in disguise, that would be why she can't move through that door. If there is truly some spell work on it that's gender bound, you know what I mean? And it's actually prohibiting her from doing so. That would be why Cold Hands can't actually, you know, get through, but is still wearing like a black cloak and looks very much like a member of the Night's Watch. And at the Night Fort is where that is mentioned, you know, like the Danny Flint song is mentioned by Bran as they descend down and will eventually be led across to the other side of the wall by Sam. You know, it's like also like we don't know how long ago this person was at the wall or what the whole deal is here with House Flint, but we do know that Bloodraven was there a long time ago, and he may have been a friend to her at some point. And the, you know, Leaf says that Cold Hands was killed long ago.
Okay, so, well, things get a little more interesting here upon some research.
Please do.
Because I was like House Flint. I was like, that sounds familiar. Let me get my screen pulled up here. Mm-hmm. So there are actually four House Flints, but it's unknown which one that Danny Flint belongs to. So there's four House Flints: House Flint of the Mountains, House Flint of Breakstone Hill, House Flint of Flint's Fingers, and House Flint of Widow's Watch. So House Flint of Flint's Fingers is a noble house from Flint's mm-hmm. Fingers. Their arms are a gray stone upon it with a white hand, pale, black.
You know, it looks kind of cold. Looks like
it
a cold hand.
It is suggested that the Night's King was a Flint among many other possibilities. So there's the Night's King could have also been a Stark. There's a lot. Roderick Flint is regarded as one of the worst commanders in the Night's Watch for trying to make himself king beyond the wall. One of the dark legends surrounding the Night's Fort is the rape and murder of young Danny Flint. But again, that's just tying this character, because there's not much on her to suggest that she would be a member of this house.
Sure.
Of this House Flint. But I think this one's maybe the most likely, just because, you know, you have quite a bit. The Flints of Flint's Fingers swear allegiance to Lord Roose Bolton and the new Warden of the North. Their stone sigil is seen on Barrow Hall when Roose Bolton gathers his bannermen and at Winterfell at the wedding of Ramsay to Arya. A Flint crossbowman is found with a broken skull. So quite a bit. I mean,
well, Matt, let me hold on.
Sir Brian Flint, a member of the Night's Watch, was slain in mutiny to Craster's Keep. Now, I don't know that anytime the House Flint is brought up, you know, except for the ones from Flint's Finger, where like you're sort of detailed to it, it's hard to sort of just hear that name and say, well, they're from this one, because you have House Flint of Widow's Watch, Flint's Fingers, Breakstone Hill, and the Mountains.
Right. Now, when you pull up like House Flint of Breakstone Hill or whatever, they don't give you their sigil. There's really not much mentioned about them. When you go to House Flint of Widow's Watch, that's completely different. So their coat of arms is a blue field strewn with white caps on a yellow chief with a crested line and a pair of blue eyes. There's actually two blue eyes on that. That's a really interesting one, actually.
Which one's that?
That's House Flint of Widow's Watch.
Right.
Right. So pull that bad boy up and take a look. That's, you know, interesting. But, you know, the first one you pull up there is a hand. I mean, it's actually a cold hand is the sigil.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? We have a character called Cold Hands, right? I mean, we call him Cold Hands. And there's the sigil with a stony, gray, cold looking hand on it. I don't know. That to me says that's another connection, I think, to this Danny Flint.
Well, look at this. So this is House Flint of the Mountains, which is also some people believe is the same as of Breakstone Hill, who ruled as first men kings after the long night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So mm-hmm. there's definitely something going on with this House Flint.
Yeah.
And perhaps this Danny Flint.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that she would want to go be a member of the Night's Watch too suggests that, yeah, that their family has strong ties to that. And there's honor, the lore that's still there. You know, the reasons why Benjen would want to go there is because they still find value and there's still some allure to it. I mean, it's not just, again, a bunch of robbers and thieves and murderers and rapists or whatever who are going up to the Night's Watch. It's actually supposed to be a really, like, you're supposed to be protecting the realm. It's a big freaking deal. So she's seeking kind of that honor going up there and representing House Flint. And unfortunately, some of the nastiness that is associated with the wall is done to her. But I think she's animated. Now, I honestly can't believe I have never heard about this before. These comments are happening. So this is exactly why we want you guys to send us in ravens and make comments, because this is cool. This is really cool. Because now it's in my head this way, you know, now
right.
I actually don't know that I like anything else I've ever seen with Cold Hands, because George does like to do that whole like a nod to Tolkien. Right. Why couldn't she open the door? Because she was not a man. You know, I am no man. Yes. You know, the reference there. It fits and it would matter in that situation. And it's just kind of an interesting thing that he does with what, like, does that matter? Is it going to go anywhere? Is that a big deal or not? It's just an agent who he created a character who works for Bloodraven. And when you look at their histories, this person could have been tied in closely to the group, could have been there at the same time that the Raven's Teeth were sent up there or before. Who knows? I mean,
there's no timeline on it. But
right.
Clearly House Flint, right? And I my guess is that actually it's probably all the same house, possibly slightly different splinter factions or something like that, where this all ties into. We're gonna have to do some more sort of research on this house. This is the thing. It's always like, this is the way A Song of Ice and Fire works, is you'll have like one sentence in one book, one sentence in another book, one sentence in another book. Well, then you start to look at it, you're like, well, actually, man, it feels like there's a lot in here. Well, there's really not. It's just when you put it all together, it ends up looking way bigger than it actually is. But that's how you build theories.
Right, exactly. And I think it would be cool. Maybe we'll do a little deep dive down House Flint and look at the four different factions. I'm already intrigued by the House Flint of Widow's Watch. I think that's kind of a cool-looking sigil. And there's something there with those blue eyes and the sea. I mean, there's definitely, you know, George doesn't just describe these things for no reason, right? He doesn't just, you know, there's an actual reason for literally everything he does. It's why he's so tired and worn out. And I don't think he's working on it. It's tough to finish something that's this thick.
Cause you have to tie all of this stuff in. You have to tie all the tiny, yeah. you have to go back and comb over every tiny little seed you've ever planted. I guess maybe not. As we discussed in our Littlefinger episode, you know, the Tansy, we're never probably going to get any sort of real resolution on that. I think it's just sort of, you put the pieces together and this is what it's like.
Well, and you can have just some breadcrumbs that were, you know, a tie between a song and then a story of this girl, a connection to Cold Hands and the sigil. That can be all contained in one thing, and it just is its own thing. There's nothing beyond that. It's just literally, it is this girl who died a horrible death and was reanimated and brought back by Bloodraven and is now working with him and Leaf, and they're working to kind of counter, you know, what the others are doing. And there's just special little rules as to why she can't go in and out of that, out of the gate. So,
right. But is there any, there's nothing really said about her, I guess, that says that she was like really tall, like Brienne.
Yeah. And really, I don't know.
Cause Cold Hand, cause we've thought that Cold Hands might be Duncan the Tall, like really tall, like big person.
Right. I know. And we'd have to, I'm going to go back after we're done with this and like almost look and see like the descriptions, you know, of Cold Hands, just to say, cause that's why I brought up Brienne, is you have, like, what George will do is give you an example in the story. Like, I've already created someone like that, like a woman who is that big, that strong, a descendant of Duncan the Tall, who there could be others out there like that. They don't all have to be descended from, you know, this individual, that individual. You know, she just has maybe two parents who are also, they're northern, you know, folk, mountainous
right.
folk. And so
yes,
she seeks out, she's kind of a hardy, this picture makes her look very, you know, almost right. like princess of the north. Right. And I think it's like the like the song of it is one that would make you weep. But maybe there was a lot more, I mean, songs of Brienne later down the line could make you weep. Right. It just all the stuff that she went through and everything. But she was truly a good soul, a good spirit fighting for what was right and trying to do, you know, that can get glorified and people can forget that she had all sorts of other things that right. she was made fun of for, you know, so that's where I'm at on that. Yeah. This is cool. This is something people wanted us to bring up stuff we had never heard of or thought of before. So when we see it in the comments, we're going to pull it and we're going to talk about it because it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys as always for listening. Just a little extra Raven here, just pulling this out. So be sure to stick around and come back when we will be discussing chapter 3, Arya of A Storm of Swords. So as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to follow As and I on social media, anywhere at Super Games Bros and anywhere at WompRat_2M. And remember that winter is coming.